last week, folks, we spoke with Leanne Toohey, whose heartwarming family story was portrayed in the Sandra Bullock hit movie The Blind Side. The Toohey family adopted a young black kid who needed a break in life, and well, a couple of weeks ago, number 74 in the Baltimore Ravens, the kid who needed that break, he won his first Super Bowl. And the actor who played number 74, Michael Orr, was Quentin Aaron. It was his first lead role ever. And by the way, Quentin himself is truly a winner. He continues to fight his own battle with obesity and healing from bullying he faced as a young kid. QuentinAaron.org is where you want to go to find out more about this gentleman. But he joins us all the way down from the 310 area code. Quentin Aaron, how are you, buddy?
What's going on? How you doing?
What's going on, baby? You know what? When I was thinking about doing this interview with you, I was like, okay, how's this interview going to go? Because I was kind of thinking of the character you played in that movie, who really didn't say much until he was provoked. And then I thought, dang, this is going to be a boring interview unless I provoke you. So can I do that first? Can I provoke you?
Yeah, those you gotta do.
All right, here we go. Do what you gotta do. Here you go. You ready? How bad was the girly screen that you let out when your manager called you and asked if you wanted the part you auditioned for like a year earlier for some movie called The Blind Side? How bad was the girly screen that you let out?
A little something like that.
Oh, buddy. Folks, we're off to a good start. That was horrible. Don't ever do that again, man. That was scary.
Oh, I was taking it for the first my first comedic appearance on screen.
Unbelievable stuff. All right, so there's quite a story behind this whole deal, right? So this is the first lead, right, with this movie. The first big lead was The Blind Side. Your mom got you to try out. Do I get that right?
Yeah, she got me to audition for it.
And tell us the story of what you said to the film's director, John Lee Hancock, as you were leaving the audition.
Well, I handed him one of my business cards that I just got made up and told him that I also do security in case once they did get the movie going and needed some extra security around set. Because, at that time, I didn't think that I was going to get the move.
Right.
The role. So I just gave him my card. I was like, you know what? Even if I don't get it, I would love to just work on set. You know, I didn't know who they were going to cast at the time. I just knew that they were looking for a football player. So, you know, I could have been security on set or maybe one of the football players in the movie. I don't know. I was just trying to be involved.
Yeah, yeah. So you hand your card to John Lee Hancock. You tell him, hey, if you're looking for a security guard, let me know. And John Lee Hancock goes, ah! Right?
I don't know if he did that.
So you have done security. This is your thing. Did you not do some security for Bon Jovi?
I did, actually. I did. I had the pleasure of working with him on the set of his video he shot in New York City with Leanne Rimes.
Nice.
And I was watching his trailer and escorting him to and from set and everything. It was cool. At the time, he wanted to recruit me to play on his football team.
Yeah, but hold on. But very few people, I think, maybe realize this. See, I'm 6'4", 250, and people assume that when I was growing up through high school, because I was a tall guy, they were like, all the coaches would come up to me and suck up to me and be real nice until they found out I hated basketball. And you get that, right, Quentin? I mean, they all sucked up to you, but you were not Joe Athlete, correct?
Yeah, it was in the ninth grade. I was 6'4", 320, and wanted nothing more than to play basketball. I just didn't have the skills. Everybody wanted me to play football, and I was trying to stay away from football. I didn't care for football. I didn't watch it. Didn't know much about the game. I just knew about the players that were most talked about.
Yeah.
Basketball was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, as far as basketball, I have a good outside jumper, but that's it. Ball handling skills, I can't dunk. That was the one thing I wanted to do, but I couldn't really, pan out.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell the world, indeed Canada, how big your feet are, please? Size?
22.
Sorry, just in case our listeners missed that. Can you say it again, please? Size
22.
Where do you get those shoes?
Anywhere I can. Right now, they're just going free.
He's got his own. He's got his own sweatshop going. He's got some little kids making one pair a month, size 22. Hey, listen. When we were talking to Leanne Tui last week, can I just say that woman? I don't know. Like, I don't get intimidated by many people, but she scares me a little bit. Should I be scared?
Oh, she scares me. I mean, she's a sweetheart, but she can be scary.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I liked her a lot. She's got that little sparkle, that little cheekiness thing going on, right? So let's talk about moms. Dude, tough loss for you back in 08, I think, right? 4 months before you got the role in The Blind Side, you lost your mom. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
I'm really sorry about that because, well, look, it sucks for anybody to lose their parent, but, you know, you're a young guy, and that's just not cool. But also, you know, your mom was your everything. You and your brother and your mom, that's it. That's, you know, your mom poured all of her life into you, from what I've read.
Yeah. We was her, you know, major investment. And, you know, we're just trying to follow through with, you know, protecting her investment and just, you know, succeeding in life and what we wanted to do and what she wanted us to do, you know, because She wanted us to do what we wanted to do in life to become successful. So that's what we're just trying to do.
Nice. I cannot imagine how frustrated you would be. And even, I mean, we could talk about, you know, earlier in this show, Quentin, we were talking about being frustrated with unanswered prayer. You know, hey, God, I'm stuck here. Hey, God, I'm not healthy. Hey, God, I don't have a job. Hey, God, I'm dying here, whatever. And for your mom to be going through congestive heart failure, obstructive sleep apnea, she had a trach in her throat, her legs were deteriorating, her liver was failing. Dude, that's something no kid should ever see. You know, it's just so hard for loved ones to see other people suffer that much. That I cannot imagine what that was like for you to go through.
It definitely wasn't easy, but over time, it was something that you kind of realize that a lot of the things you go through in life and, you know, as a human being, is not always for you, but it's meant for people around you, or it's meant for you to do things for people around you in the future, you know.
Your mom, Laura, she wrote this book called Leave Me Alone. I haven't seen this book. I ran out of time. I wanted to look it up and find out what it was all about. Can you let us, just fill us in, man. What's that book all about? Leave Me Alone by L.A. Aaron.
That was basically, she was writing a bunch of poetry at the time, and she would write short stories, and she wanted to, you know, become a published author. So she, you know, took like 4 of her favorite short stories that she had written and put them together in one book, which became Leave Me Alone. And I think I don't remember exactly where the title came from. The illustration on the book though was done by my younger brother, who actually is quite the artist, and he did the illustration on the cover. But it has like 4 short stories that touch on a lot of different genres, and it's definitely a page turner.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a book, so it's not like something that you would never have time to finish. I think it's only about 100 pages or so.
Okay.
But it's definitely, you know, a page turner.
I lost my mom when I was 22. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, there's just no other words for it other than it sucks. The kind of unique thing about your situation, Quentin, is, you know, you lose your mom and you get 2 moms right afterwards. You know, you get Sandra Bullock as a mom and you get Leanne Tui. Those are 2 scary mamas. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just you and your mother and your brother growing up, didn't know your dad. Have you ever met your dad, Quentin?
I haven't. No, actually, I haven't.
How do you think that kind of shapes you as a guy? You know, I was also adopted. I never knew my real parents growing up. I mean, my real parents are who I grew up with, but I didn't know my birth parents. And I wonder how that kind of shaped me. What about you growing up without a dad? Did that mess with you at all?
No, it actually didn't, because my mom has been great in you know, raising me, and I feel like at times she played both mother and father, and I mean, she's been so amazing that I never wanted more. You know, I never felt like I was missing anything, so it was no need for me to go and look for who wasn't around. I mean, I heard the story as to why he wasn't around, so I didn't want to, you know, drum up the past, so right. to speak.
Yeah. You know, any desire as time goes by, especially now that you've that your mom is gone, any desire to sort of track him down at all?
I think it was a brief moment about a year or two ago that I actually did want to try, but I don't know enough information on him to even know if he's still alive or where he would be at anyway. So I you know, and I kind of just like left it alone. I was like, no need.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get it.
The curiosity thing. It wasn't that I needed him. It was just, I was just curious to know where I came from.
Yeah, same thing with me. When I looked for my birth parents, so I found my birth mother, I found my birth father, and you know, it's a curious thing for sure. You know, it's hard to believe that a big dude like you was ever bullied, right? I mean, I don't know. I just think about you, and I think who in their right mind would ever bully you? But was that because like everyone gets bullied in the Bronx at one time or another, or did the bullying go down at Glen Hills High in Georgia? Where did the I know it wasn't physical bullying though. It was like cutting words and stuff, right?
Well, when I was younger, a lot of like in you know, grade school and like elementary and stuff, because I was like a skinny, scrawny kid who wore glasses. So I used to get picked on and beat up before I knew how to fight. And once I learned how to fight, all of that kind of stopped, and then it just turned into verbal bullying.
Right.
Because I was always a very... I had a lot of patience. You could say anything in the world you want to me. It's just when I learned how to fight, you couldn't put your hands on me.
Yeah, I could look. I can imagine, Quentin, that the thing that stopped the bullying in your life, stopped all the bullying, was when you joined the choir, right?
No, it was just you know what it was at first when I joined the choir. I lived with my grandparents in Augusta, Georgia, and you know, staying with your grandparents, you got to go to church, especially if your grandfather's a preacher.
Yeah.
You know. You gotta go to church. And for me, joining the choir was basically finding that thing that I love to do that make me want to be there every Sunday.
Right.
You know, to pass time by. And growing up in a Baptist church, oh, they sing.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe like four or five songs throughout the service that helps time go by. So, you know, and I had a love for music growing up already. I was a big Michael Jackson fan, God rest his soul, back in the day. I thought I was a little Michael Jackson for...
Really? Really? Hold on. You know what? That just begs the question now. I'm so glad you brought that up, Quentin Aaron. Can you maybe give us a little rendition of maybe how you might do a Michael Jackson song? Can you just lay a little something, lay a little MJ on us, Quentin?
Little MJ?
Show doing a little MJ, buddy, man, you just brought it. That is unbelievable. Good job.
No wonder he was bullied.
Thank you.
Okay, but here's the thing I don't understand, and please help me get this, all right? What the heck is a mute singer? Can you help me? Because that just sounds like an oxymoron.
Oh, by singer, they meant back in the choir. I was singing with the tenor, so I was like, I wasn't a lead vocalist. Like, I didn't really lead songs. I sung with the choir, so that's why she had mute singer. And,
okay.
You know, and I was also shy a lot too back in the day too. So I would, like, you know, mask my voice in the choir, and nobody really knew if I was singing or not.
For some reason, I thought you were the guy who stood on the side that did sign language.
No.
We've got a co-host here with us today, David Peck. David's been listening to this interview, and he keeps going, I want to ask him a question. David.
Quentin, hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
So tell me a bit more about bullying. I've got a 7-year-old son who was talking a little bit about it not long ago, and I kind of wonder, how do you define it? Because it's kind of, I mean, it's really popular here in Canada. I've been in a few public schools recently. Posters on the wall, there's talks.
You
there's
mean anti-bullying campaigns are popular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not trying to, you know.
Bullying's
you know,
a real big trend these days. Yeah.
At bullying.com, yes. So, yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because some of it, you know, some of it's just growing up, isn't it, as a kid? You just kind of have to put up with a certain amount of, I don't know, being made fun of. Does that make sense, Quentin?
A lot of kids go through it growing up, but I feel like it's something that parents have to really get involved with their kids about. And a lot of times you got to be nosy because the kids aren't going to always go and tell their parents, you know, that it's happening to them. My mom, you know, when I was getting bullied at elementary school, she went up to the school a couple of times before it actually stopped. And it was because she could tell when I came home how my mood was, whether or not I had a good day at school. And I was the kind of person that wasn't really going to say anything. I just took it and took it and took it. So she would go up to the school and call the principal, you know, and have the kid come up to the class. How she found out about what the kid it was is because she would beat my behind at home until I told her what the problem was. And then so when I told her, she would go up to the school and have the kid come up to the class, to the principal's office, and have the kid call his mom or dad or whoever, get them on the phone and tell them, look, if your son does not stop bothering my son, I'm going to do whatever I can to get him kicked out of school. If that doesn't work, I will put hands on your child if you do not stop your child. And not suggesting that people do that, but I think parents really have to become more involved in, you know, their kids' school lives in order to stop a problem like that. Because when the kids are not going to tell because they don't want to get picked on more, but at the end of the day, the more involved the parent becomes in that does help stop it.
My dad told me, Quentin, when I was about 11, to just fight back. That was his answer. But that's you said you're patient. That's not what you're saying, right?
Oh no! Well, you know what? I fought back once I learned how to fight. That's why I said the physical bullying stopped.
Right.
And that's one of the main reasons I was put in self defense classes. I took Taekwondo at the age of 9. From 9 to 11, I took Taekwondo. In those 2 years, I reached the red belt. And plus, I grew up watching like a bunch of different martial arts movies, so I would always imitate what I saw on TV. And there was a couple of incidents where I actually had to put those skills to use. When there were crowds to witness that, then that's when all the, you know, that's when all the actual physical bullying stopped, because people saw what I can do, and they're like, okay, you know what, I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm just going to, I'm not going to touch them no more.
Yeah. Listen, I was just going to say, I want to give a plug to your website. You're actively involved in anti-bullying campaigns, and people can bring you to their town. I guess, and talk about this issue, QuintonAaron.org. QuintonAaron.org is where you want to go to find out more information. And Quentin, I think that there's some, hopefully some plans to get you up here to Toronto soon enough. And I really hope that happens.
Definitely. We're doing a tour coming up in March in which we will be, you know, visiting a bunch of cities, Toronto being one of them. And, you know, I can't wait to make it up there. I've heard so much about, you know, Toronto, and I actually have been talking to a girl that lives out there.
Oh, really? Oh, really? So, I would like to know more about that, but unfortunately, we're out of time. Listen, Quentin Aaron, folks, is who we've been chatting with. You know him from The Blind Side. He's worked with Jack Black. He's worked with Channing Tatum. He's been on Law & Order, Law & Order SVU. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. But here's the deal. He's dealt with his own demons. He is quite an anti-bullying spokesperson. Again, the website is QuentinAaron.org. You want to go there and get in touch with his people, and maybe we could get Quentin up here to Toronto. He's just an absolutely fantastic spokesperson on this issue. Quentin, I had the best time talking to you, man. And for you to lay down that MJ made my week. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
Quentin.
That was awesome. We'd love to talk to you again sometime. You come to Toronto, let's hook up. Folks, we got to move on. We got so much stuff happening. I don't know whether you realize this. We've just gone from The Blind Side to Hercules. Up next on our show, Kevin Sorbo. And we just got a phone call saying that Larry King will join us around 3:45. Larry King back on the Drew Marshall Show for his third visit. We'll be right back.
Look marvelous.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?